Hello, Relevant Community Church. Oh, yeah. You guys are going to be so fired up this morning. You remember how amazing it was a couple of weeks ago when we played that game, Sweeping the Nation? Does everybody remember? What was it called? Is it nice or is it kind? Right. Well, you are so lucky that you braved the winter spring blizzard out there, because we're going to do something that's taking the world by storm this morning. I mean, this game is becoming world famous. If not, it will be after today. We're going to play a little What's in There? Whew, are you nervous? What's in There? All right, I've got pre-selected three contestants. Come on up here, hustle up. Oh, yeah. Oh, this is incredible. Incredible. Here's how it's going to work. Let's go, Elkhorn North Wrestling. Yeah. Here's how it's going to work. Our contestants are going to see a little short video, and then they're going to take a guess what's in there. Okay, you guys ready? Names?
Dakota.
Brooklyn.
Steen.
Nice. You guys ready for this? Are you ready to go? All right, let's see clip number one. Here we go. How you doing? What's your name?
I'm doing good. My name's Kyle.
Kyle. We got Kyle. Oh, Amazon Prime. Okay, Kyle. Oh, okay, Amazon Prime. I'm not sure what was going on with that cameraman. He had a little something. Okay, anyway. So what do you think? What's in there?
A lot of packages.
A lot of packages. What do you guys think? Oh, yeah. Beautiful. Incredible job. All right, let's see clip number two. Ready for this, Brooklyn?
Hey, guys, I'm here with my friend James. And James works for, everybody know what that is? United States Postal Service.
You know what that is?
So, James, you got a message for us.
Hey, Relevant, what's in there?
Ooh. Oh, yeah. James is good. See, it's taking the world by storm. Just people are just saying it. What's in there? Brooklyn, I don't know if you know this, United States Postal Service. Have you ever used this?
I have.
You have?
Yeah.
Okay. What do you think's in there?
I have a feeling it's mail.
Mail. What do you think? Oh, yeah. Beautiful. Man, you guys, our high schoolers are so smart. Nailing this. All right, here we go. Number three, here we go.
Hey, Relevant, this is my friend Nathan. Nathan's got the Lord's wheel going on. Nathan, you got a message for us.
Hey, Relevant, guess what's in there?
Ooh. Oh, man. Hi, Steen.
I'm guessing it's food.
We're going to give him food? Okay, nice. I mean, you could have said the Lord's chicken. You could have said a lot of stuff. But we'll let you go with food. Hey, here's some gift cards for you guys. Thanks for playing.
Thank you.
I don't like to plug products up here. So this is a gift card to a place where you can get really good chicken and waffle fries. But I don't like to plug. Yeah, don't like to plug it. Oh, look at this guy. Thank you. Ronnie Rothy, lead pastor. And my personal assistant. Thank you, Ronnie. Appreciate it. Wow, was that amazing? What's in there? Oh, well, I promise it'll make sense in a few minutes. And if it doesn't, you can hold me to it, but I think it will. Well, if you're new with us this morning, welcome. We're really glad you're here. You picked a great week to be here. We're coming down the home stretch of a 9-week series called Fruitful, where we've been talking about what one of the writers of Scripture calls the fruits of the Spirit. There are these character qualities that God wants to produce in our lives, and that only He can produce in our lives. They're fruit of the Spirit. If you've been with us, you know the drill. If not, here's a 30-second version. We'll catch you up, everything you need to know. Throughout this series, we've been asking one big question. What's the proof we're following Jesus? What's the proof? Not what's the proof we're saved, that we have a right relationship with God. No, we're saved and brought into a right relationship with Him by His grace through our faith in Jesus alone. It's a gift. Can't earn it. So the question has been, once we claim to put our faith in Jesus, once we ask Him to be the forgiver of our sins and the leader of our lives, what's the proof we're actually following Him? And we've been going with what Jesus said about that we'll know who's a follower of Jesus by the fruit in their lives. these character qualities we've been looking at. And if you're here this morning, you'd say, yeah, I'm not a follower of Jesus. I'm not even sure how I got here, when blew me in. I don't know. But I'm so glad you're here, because we're going to be talking about something that is really for followers of Jesus to sort of evaluate how they're doing, what their walk with Jesus looks like. But it's all based on the faithfulness of our faithful God. So you're going to be hearing some great things today about how faithful God is, how God never fails. And it's going to give you a glimpse into what's it look like to follow Jesus? What's expected of a follower of Jesus? I've never heard this kind of stuff before. So really glad you're here. But as we've been talking about the fruits of the Spirit, we've been looking at them every week, been reading them together, so let's do that. But the fruit of the Spirit, Paul says, and Paul's talking about God's Spirit, the Holy Spirit, who takes up residence in us the second that we put our faith in Jesus. Let's say them together. We've been doing it every week. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Awesome. Nice job. We've already walked through love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness. If you missed any of those, this has been an awesome series. And I would really encourage you to get online and listen to these. It's been so good. But it'd be a great way for you to learn how to grow in your apprenticeship with Jesus. You can check them out online. But today we're spending some time on faithfulness. And I want to say this right up front about faithfulness. This fruit may be the quietest, most understated in the list. It doesn't have the emotional charge of love or joy. Faithfulness doesn't get the bumper sticker. You've probably never seen a bumper sticker that said anything about faithfulness. It doesn't rise to that level. But I would argue that it's the one that may change the most lives, because it's the one that gets us in the room to display any of the rest of the fruit. It's the one that gets us in the room. But more on that in a minute. One more thing before we go any further. Just a reminder that these are fruits of the Spirit, not fruits of our efforts. We can't manufacture these fruits. We can't white-knuckle our way into faithfulness. It's not possible. This is God-level character we're talking about, that only God can grow in us. But we do have a part to play. Paul says in the next sentence after the fruits of the Spirit that we see this fruit in our lives, the proof of following Jesus, by keeping in step with the Spirit, by following Jesus one next step at a time, by responding to the stirrings, the promptings, the convictions of His Spirit living in us. That's how the fruit grows. And the fruit is the proof that we're actually following Jesus one next step at a time. So let's dig in. What is faithfulness, really? Well, when we've been talking about these fruits, we've been going back to the original language, Greek for the New Testament, Hebrew, the Old Testament, because the words underneath our English translation often have a lot more muscle, more meaning than our word might carry today. So the Greek word Paul uses here for faithfulness is a word, pistis. Now, you don't want to go around saying this to people a lot. You don't want to go, hey, I'm pistis. They go, why is he mad at me? And why is he saying it weird like that? Why is he pistis? No, don't go around saying it. But this is not a great sounding word, but it's a power-packed word. In some translations, it's rendered as faithfulness. In others, it's translated faith. But the root is the same, meaning trustworthiness, reliability, steadfast fidelity. When pistis is describing the character of a person, a fruit in someone's life, like we've been talking about, it leans toward meaning the quality of being someone who can be counted on. Someone who can be counted on. Say that again to yourself. Someone who can be counted on. We're going to look in a little bit and go, is that me? Am I someone who can be counted on? It's the opposite of fickle, the opposite of flaky. The person described by pistis is someone who, when they make a commitment, they keep it. Even when it's inconvenient, even when they don't feel like it, even when no one's watching. There's also a relational dimension to pistis that doesn't always make it into our English translations. It's not just about moral reliability as a concept. It's about being faithful to someone, to a covenant, to a promise, to a relationship. There are people on the receiving end of your faithfulness. It echoes the Hebrew word hesed. We talked about it a couple of weeks ago, if you remember that. That covenant love, that faithful, always shows up love of God that keeps showing up over and over and over, no matter what we do or who we are. The love keeps showing up. Like the writers describe God in Scripture when they write this, because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed. For His compassions never fail. Hang on that for a second. His compassions, God's compassion, His love for you never fails. Not once. They are new every morning. I love that about God's faithfulness. It's new every morning. No matter what my day was like yesterday, man, I got a fresh start with God. His faithfulness, His love, His compassion for me is new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. So here's a working definition we can carry through today. Faithfulness is showing up every time. Every time. For the people and the places God has given you. Showing up every time for the people and the places God has given you. And a bonus question coming up later, what's in there when we show up? We'll talk about that some more. But faithfulness is not a feeling. It's not an inspiration we get. It's a decision repeated over and over to be present and dependable for the people and the places God has put in our lives. And this is just like God. This is just like God acts with us. As Jesus said about Himself, God in the flesh, He said, and remember, I am with you always. I'm always with you. I'm not leaving your side. I am with you always to the end of the age. Always there. Always on time. Every time. Here's the big idea. I want us to lock this in. Faithfulness is the vehicle that gets you where God wants you to go. Faithfulness is the vehicle that gets you where God wants you to go. Think about it like this. Love, joy, peace, kindness, all the other fruits are expressed in moments. You have a kind conversation. You experience a moment of peace. But faithfulness is what gets you in the room to have that conversation again and again. Faithfulness is what keeps you in the relationship long enough for the other fruits to actually bear out. Faithfulness is the vehicle, the truck, the cargo van, faithfulness. It gets you in the room. And once you're in the room, God wants to fill that cargo hold with something that changes those moments you're in. Not mail, not packages, not even Chick-fil-A. He's got some stuff He wants to fill that back with for you to bring. You don't get to have those moments if you're not consistently showing up. And God doesn't usually drop His purposes on strangers, although He certainly can. But more consistently, He works through consistent presence. He brings His grace and truth and goodness to people through the faithful, repeated presence of His followers. You and me. To your coworker, when you keep showing up with patience. To your friend, when you keep answering the phone. To your kid, when you keep showing up to games week after week after week in the freezing cold. Faithfulness. Faithfulness positions you. It puts you in the right places with the right people at the right time so that God can work through you and bring the fruit of His Spirit that's needed for the moment. The person who keeps showing up is the one who gets to be there for the moments that matter most. The person that keeps showing up over and over and over, never giving up. But here's the flip side. Unfaithfulness removes you from the story. When we check out from a marriage, a friendship, a church, a commitment, we're not just stepping back for ourselves. We remove ourselves as a conduit for what God wants to do through us in those people and in those places. He picked us out to bring his fruit. Faithfulness is the vehicle that gets us there. It gets you there. And staying in the vehicle, staying consistent, staying present is how you get to witness what God does with the people and places he's put in your life. I saw this play out in an extraordinary way with my wife, Lori, at the funeral I told you guys about a couple weeks ago. If you were here, you remember I told you about my very dysfunctional extended family. We were headed to a funeral where there's just all these broken relationships and just a lot of grossness there. Well, there were main characters in that story that my wife, Lori, had every right to say, "You haven't been gracious and kind and loving and forgiving to me all these years. Why should I show up to this thing? And why should I even think about bringing any of that to you?" But she didn't. She showed up over and over through those couple of days with love and peace and kindness to people who didn't deserve it from her. I mean, it's my crazy family. You know, she didn't have to do this. But I watched God use her faithfulness over and over those couple of days to spark a healing conversation. Just saw it happen all over the room. To bring peace to a person filled with anxiety by the events of the day. To show love to someone who showed up with a hard heart and they weren't going to engage with this thing. Faithfulness put her in proximity. And then God filled the cargo van with what he wanted to bring to the day. He did it through her. It was awesome. Jesus gave us a beautiful picture of this and a great phrase to keep in mind when we evaluate how we're doing with this fruit of faithfulness. It's recorded in the book of John in the New Testament. It gives the events of Jesus' life. In this particular instance, Jesus is hours away from going to the cross, and he's praying to his Father, God. And he keeps returning to this phrase. Check it out. "I revealed you to those whom you gave me out of the world. They were yours. You gave them to me, and they've obeyed your word. I'm not praying for the world, but for those you have given me. Father, I want those you have given me to be with me where I am." Did you catch it? I'm sure you did, because it's bolded all through here, and I was trying to hit it hard. Jesus prayed specifically, just hours away from going to the cross, prayed specifically for those you've given me, no less than four times, hours before he took on all the sins of all the world, of all time. Out of the hundreds and thousands that he touched, spoke to, healed, Jesus had a circle of people that God entrusted to him. And his faithfulness to them, his protection, his presence, his teaching, his love, was the primary expression of his obedience up to that point, going to the cross. His obedience to the Father during his time here on earth. So I have a question for you. Who has God given you? Who's God given you? There are people in your life, specific, particular people with names and faces that God, in his sovereign design, has placed in your sphere. Your kids, your spouse, your best friend, your coworkers, your neighbors, your tea life group, the person who keeps showing up in your life, whether you ask for them or not. You know who I'm talking about. Those are the ones God has given to you. And faithfulness, pistis, is how you steward that gift. Not with a grand gesture, not with a perfectly curated moment, but with consistent, reliable, trustworthy presence. By being the kind of person they can count on every time. Jesus modeled this for us for 3 years. Not in a stadium, not on a platform, but around a table with 12 people. He was ultra faithful to those 12. And those 12 changed the world. Your faithfulness to the ones God has given you is not small. It might look ordinary. It may feel small in the moment. But in the economy of God, in the hands of God, faithfulness to the few is how the kingdom moves. Jesus was very direct about this connection between small faithfulness and big trust when he said this: whoever can be trusted with very little can also be trusted with much. And whoever is dishonest with very little will also be dishonest with much. This isn't just about money, although the context here is financial. It's a principle about character. The way you handle the small thing is the way you handle the big thing. Faithfulness isn't a switch you can flip on when the stakes are high. You know, it doesn't work like that. You can't be unfaithful in the small things and then something big comes along and go, yep, I'm going to kick it in now. I'm going to be faithful. No, it's the person that you are at 3 p.m. on a Tuesday when nobody's watching. That's where faithfulness kicks in the small things. Jesus hits this principle in another story. A master comes back after a long absence and evaluates how his servants handled what he left them to care for. The servants who were faithful hear the most coveted words in all of Scripture. Let these sink in. You probably heard them before, but let it sink in. Well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful with a few things. You've been faithful with some small things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. What an incredible thing to hear. What incredible words to hear. Words I hope that I hear when I meet Jesus face to face. But notice he doesn't say, well done, successful servant. You crushed it. Now, he doesn't say, well done, highly visible servant. Everybody's going to know about this. No, he doesn't say that. He doesn't say, well done, servant who had the most impressive results, although they did have good results. He says, well done, good. And for that, I'll refer you back to Coleman's message last week. Awesome message on goodness. Well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful. You showed up every time for the people and in the places I gave you. That's the whole evaluation. Good and faithful servant. Faithfulness means showing up to that commitment even when you don't feel like it. It's following through on that text you said you'd send. It's being fully present at dinner instead of halfway somewhere else on your phone. It's doing the ordinary things of love and presence with consistency over and over for the people God has placed in your life. The small things aren't the warm-up for the real thing. For most of us, I think for all of us, the small things are the real thing. They are it. That's where the evaluation comes. And Jesus is clear here. God is watching and recording us as followers of Jesus and what we do with those small things. Well done, good and faithful servant. I trusted you with a little and you came through. You were faithful. I'm going to give you some more. Incredible principle. Well, I want to be really honest with you guys about something this morning. You're like, oh, that's good. I'm glad he's going to be honest. That's great. It's not one of the fruit of the Spirit, but it should be, honesty. If you know my boss, don't tell her what I'm about to say. And Nandita, if you're listening somehow right now, turn this off. You don't need to hear this. You've heard all the message you need to hear. Turn it off. Okay, let's give her a second. Get to the remote. Turn it off. Okay, good. I got to tell you guys something. I want to retire bad, y'all. I mean, really bad. High schoolers, if you think senioritis is tough, wait till you get finish line fever like I got. I got it. Now, I know many of you are probably shocked right now. You're thinking, oh, he wants to retire? He's got to only be like in his late 30s, thank you. I was going to say 40s. Hey, would you like a gift card to Chick-fil-A? See me after. Yeah, love it. Now, I've been working a long time, you guys, since I was 12 years old when I started this little lawn mowing business. And I am so ready to not get up and go to work on Monday or Tuesday or Wednesday. Friday's okay, because Friday's like, okay, week's almost over. But God has clearly told Lori and I that it's not time yet. As much as we want it to be, as much as I want it to be, it's not time yet. We've probably got 1 year, 363 days to go, but who's counting? I'm not counting down. I don't have marbles in a jar to take out one every day. No, it's a good idea. I can't tell you how many times I've told Lori, I really don't want to work today. Or I'm sitting at my desk in my basement after a morning of work, staring at an afternoon ahead, thinking, man, I want to be done. Not just with this day, I want to be done. I want to go get my part-time job at, you know, Home Depot or whatever. And every single time I want to coast, every single time, God brings one word back to me. Faithful. I want you to be faithful. It's actually my word of the year. Before we go into every year, we get a word of the year that we just spend some time praying and thinking like, God, what do you want my focus to be this year? What do you want me to sort of evaluate how my year went instead of like New Year's resolutions or goals or whatever? And this year, going into 2026, my word was faithful. Because I think God maybe knew what was coming, how I was going to struggle with this and just how much I wanted to shut it down. But that word comes to mind every time. Faithful. And I sense God's nudge to show up again. I pray for strength. I pray for him to empower me to take the next step. And every time I've asked him to strengthen me to be faithful, he's done it. Every time. So then I kick into the next thing at work. I get busy being faithful. Like, God, show me what to do next. And before you know it, it's quitting time. And another week bites the dust. And I'm down to a year and 47 days. And God has not only empowered me to be faithful every time I ask, but he's doing another really, really interesting, cool thing with this. He keeps raising the bar, getting me to think about what's in there when I show up. When I'm faithful and I show up to where God wants me to show up for the people and the places that he's giving me, what's in there? I told you it would come back. What fruit of the Spirit is needed for the people and the places where God has placed me? How do I need God to produce it in me so it overflows to the people and the places he's taking me? Faithfulness is the vehicle that's getting me there. Remember that. Faithfulness is going to get us in the room. And the fruit of the Spirit is the cargo he wants me to bring when I show up. He wants me to show up with something. Not empty-handed, not just show up. He wants me to bring something. So as I'm moving into a situation or a conversation that faithfulness has arranged, I ask God to fill me with what's needed there. Fill me with what this person needs. Fill me what this place needs. God, fill me with patience for this person. I need it. I don't got it. You're going to have to produce it in me. Father, I want to bring your joy here today. Fill me full of it and let it overflow on everybody I touch. I want to respond in kindness and gentleness to that person, God, versus blasting them like the first thing that wants to come out of my mouth. Do that in me, God. And he's also doing that every time. It's been incredible. Every time I ask him to produce this fruit in me that's needed for the people in the places where faithfulness has taken me, he's done it. And I'm beginning to learn that I think God loves it when we ask him to produce the fruit needed for the people in the places where faithfulness has taken us. I mean, why wouldn't he produce the fruit of his Spirit when it's needed and we ask him for it? Why wouldn't he? He's like, this is the fruit of my Spirit. I want you to bring it. So how about you? Do you have a sense for the people and the places where God is calling you to be faithful? You can probably picture them or list them right now. He probably puts them in front of your face every day, every week, every month. They're not hard to find. My encouragement, my challenge for you is to be faithful there. Be faithful there to the ones He's given you, to the places He's given you. And on your way in, ask God to fill up the back with the cargo, the fruit that only you can bring by producing it in you. Every morning you wake up and you get in this vehicle of faithfulness. You go to the job, you show up to the marriage, you answer the phone for the friend who calls again. Faithfulness is going to get you there. Now God's asking one question as you come in: what's in there when you show up? What's in there? What are you bringing? Patience for the coworker who drives you crazy? Peace for the spouse who's carrying something heavy? Joy for the person who hasn't smiled in weeks? You don't have to manufacture it. You can't manufacture it. We've learned this through this series. This is fruit of the Spirit. You can't conjure this up. You just have to show up every time, be faithful to the people, the places where God's taking you, and when you do, ask God, fill me, God. Fill me full of the fruit you want to bring here. The fruit that's needed here. Fill me full. And then just pour it back out. And then watch what God delivers for the people and the places He's given you. Let's pray together. God, I just want to say, first of all, just a huge, huge thank you for being a faithful God, for showing us what it looks like to be faithful. Your compassions never fail. Your love is new every morning. You're with us always, always by our side. God, you are the faithful God. Thank you so much. We're so grateful for that. God, for followers of Jesus in the room, God, I pray that you would, God, just make it really clear, the people and the places you've given us every day, every week, every month, the people and the places that you say, these are the ones I've given you. Be faithful. God, strengthen us to be faithful every time. And that, God, when we show up, when we get to the places that faithfulness has taken us to, I pray you'd fill us with the fruit that's needed for those people and places. Fill us with love, joy, peace, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Fill us full of it so that it just pours out. God, for the people that are here with us today, in here in person or online, who haven't put their faith in you yet, God, I thank you so much that they're here today. And I thank you that they've gotten to hear about you and about how faithful you are, and to get a glimpse of what you're looking for out of a follower of Jesus to look like when you produce these things in us. God, we love you. We're so grateful for you, so grateful for your faithfulness to us. Just pour it out on these people and the places and people where they go. God, we love you. In Jesus' name, amen.